And what happened when finally Esav came to Yaakov? And even Yaakov bowed down 7 times to Esav. And his family bowed down to Esav. And they gave Esav covet, and they treated him so nice. So Esav, it says he kissed Yaakov. Really, he wanted to bite Yaakov. He wanted to bite him. But it says that Hashem turned Yaakov's neck hard like a stone. And when Esav started to bite, he started to smash his teeth up, and it hurt. So he couldn't bite him anymore, so he decided he's going to cush him. So he kissed him. That was all that was left, because his teeth were all smashed up from the hard neck. But still in his heart, Esav hated Yaakov. And Esav says to Yaakov, okay, my brother, you're coming back to live in Eretz Canaan. I invite you to live on the mountain of Seir where I live. You're my brother, live near me on Har Seir. And why don't you come with me, we'll go together, and my men will take care of your animals, and you'll come together with me, with your family, and we'll live all together on the mountain of Seir in Eretz Canaan. In fact, I'll give you a lot of men to help you with all your things. And Yaakov says, you know what, Esav? I have little kids. We go slow. You have big men. You go fast. You know what? You go ahead. You go fast. You like to go fast. You don't have any patience to go slow. We'll go slow. We'll catch up later. And finally, later on, we're going to come to Har Seir, and we'll get there. When we get there, we get there. Okay, says Esav. Now, Kinalach, an interesting thing in the Torah. Esav went home, and Yaakov never went to Har Seir. He said to Esav, I'm going to come to Har Seir, to your mountain, when it's time. We'll go slowly. But you don't see he ever got there. When did Yaakov, or when will Yaakov ever go to Har Seir? You know when? It says in the Torah, when Mashiach comes. That's when Yaakov is going to go to Har Seir. When Mashiach comes. That's the time that Yaakov is going to go to Har Seir with all the Yidden. And they're going to go to all the Bnei Esav over there. And they're going to throw them out of Har Seir with all the Avedas and all the Shlech Nezachin and all the Getchkes. And the Yidden are going to take over Har Seir and make yeshivas over there in the Yiddish neighborhood and kosher places and Yiddish places and Torah places and throw out all the Getchkes in the garbage can. And that's when they're going to go to Har Seir. But till then, till then, Bnei Esav are still there. On the way home to Eretz Israel, to Eretz Canaan, to Yitzchak and Rivka, and when they were in Eretz Israel, they came to a place called Shechem. Shechem was a city. Shechem was also a name of a boy. The boy was the prince. He was going to be the king when his father would no longer be the king. And his father, his name was Chamor. Chamor also means a donkey. That was the name of the king of Shechem. Chamor named the city after his son Shechem. Yaakov and his family now came to Shechem. They set up their tents, and they're going to stay over there for a while near the city of Shechem. And one evening, Dina, the girl, the daughter of Yaakov and Leah, Dina says, I don't want to stay home. I want to go out. I want to go see in Shechem. I want to go see the city and the stores and the shopping and take a walk and see what people are doing over there. No, I don't want to stay home. It's boring at home. I want to go out, have a good time. Yaakov says, Dina, you don't just go walking around the streets of a Goyish city. You stay home. Maybe the family will go for a walk sometime. You just don't go out by yourself. Chas v'shalom. You don't go out by yourself in a strange place. But Tom, I'm so bored. I want to go out. I don't want to stay home. There's nothing to do. Nothing to do at home. I'm bored. And the brother said, Dina, you just don't go out like that, walking around, especially in a strange city like that. You don't know what can happen. Stay home, and we'll go out a different time. But kinalach, Dina was bored. She said, what's it going to hurt a little walk around to see what's happening over there? And kinalach, Dina did not listen. She goes out in Shechem at night, walking around alone, into the city, into the Goyisha city. And she's over there looking at stores and looking at shopping and seeing people and looking around. She couldn't stay home. She was restless. She wanted to walk around. All of a sudden, Kinalach, that was walking down the street at that time, Shechem the prince himself. Shechem the prince, the big boy. And all of a sudden he sees Dina. Oh, she's so beautiful. She's so nice. And Shechem, you see, Shechem, he used to get everything he wants. He was a prince. He was the son of the king. Whatever he wants, he gets. He was spoiled. Some people are like that. When he was a little boy, he would walk down the street with his tati or his mommy, and he would look into a window, I want that toy! And the mommy would say, I'm sorry, Shechem, but you can't have that toy. But I want that toy, and I want it now! Ah! And he starts screaming and yelling, and of course, since he's the prince, it's not nice he should scream and yell in the street. That's first of all. Second of all, they didn't lack any money over there, and they bought him. Oh, let him be happy. After all, he's going to be the king. Why shouldn't he have everything he wants? And if he walks down the street and he sees clothes that he wants, Mommy, I want those red pants. Oh, Shechem, you're not going to look good in red pants. But I want red pants! Ah! And he starts screaming for his red pants. And Mommy would have to buy him the red pants or the fancy pajamas or whatever he wants. Whatever he wants, he gets. This is the way Shechem was. And he looked at Dina and he says, this is the girl I want to marry. She should be my queen. She's so beautiful. I want Dina. I want this girl. He didn't know her name. He says, this is the girl that I want to marry. Now, he goes over to Dina. Hello, well, what's your name? Well, Dina didn't want to all of a sudden speak to a boy like that. A strange boy, especially he's not a Yid. And she didn't want to talk to him. Hey, come on, tell me your name. Hey, what's your name? Tell me, I want to know your name. What's wrong? Can't you tell me your name? You can't talk? What's wrong? Your mouth doesn't work? My name is Dina. Oh, yeah? Dina. Oh, that's a nice name. Hey, you want to come over to my house? You want to come over and see my house? I live in the palace. My daddy, he's the king. His name is Hamor. Dina says, you know what that means in Hebrew? It means a donkey. Your father's a donkey? No, he's not a donkey. He's the king. My father's not a donkey. He's the king. He's a man. He wears a crown. He's got fancy king clothes. What do you mean he's a donkey? My father's not a donkey. I don't think he's a donkey. Doesn't look like a donkey. But Dina says, his name is Donkey. Yeah, but in a different language, it's chamor. Maybe it means something else in our language. Anyway, what kind of language you speak anyway? What is that? Hebrew. I'm a Yid. A Yid? What's that, a Yid? I don't know what's a Yid. Well, we're different than you. Anyway, I don't want to come over to your house because I'm a Jewish girl. I don't go over to a boy's house just like that. I don't know who you are. And I'm not going to go over to your house. I'm just taking a walk. Now, Shechem, he wasn't going to give up because, you understand, whatever he wants, he gets. He wasn't used to not getting something. If he wants something for supper, tonight he wants to have chicken. And Mommy says, I'm sorry, Shechem, tonight is fish. But I want chicken! I want chicken for supper! I don't want to eat fish! And he starts screaming And of course, mommy would have to run to get chicken. She goes to the cooks in the kitchen. Hey, cook chicken tonight. And the cooks would say, but we cook delicious fish. Shem doesn't want fish. He wants chicken. The rest of the family will eat fish. Little Shemo, he's going to eat chicken. And the cooks would have to schlep and get a chicken just for Shem. He's spoiled rotten. Whatever he wants, he gets. Finally, Kinalach, this Shem, he wouldn't let up. He starts going to Dina. Come on, come to my house. I'll show you the palace. Come, I want to show you my house. I live in the palace. You should see the fancy furnitures we have over there and the rugs. And we have gold and silver all over the walls and pictures all over the place and paintings. And you should see the fancy things that people wear over there. We have servants. We have food, nash. We have cookies, candies, cake. We have anything you want. Come to my house. Come on. I want you to go to my house and I want to show you my house. Come on. And he's drinking a cup and he's drinking a cup. Well, after a while, she couldn't stand it anymore. She says, you know what? I'll just go look at your house from the outside, but I'm not going to go in your house. You want to show me your house? Fine. And Shem takes Dina over there, and he shows her the palace from the outside. He says, look, just go through the door 1 foot, 1 step in the door, and look inside. Just look inside. I want to show you all the fancy things and some of my toys near the door over there. Let me show you over there what I have. I have big balls and big bikes and big playthings and all kinds of stuff. And over there is so many nice things in the palace. Well, again, Dina was curious, you know. They like to look at things. And she takes 1 step into the house, and all of a sudden, this Shem, he pulls her into the house and he locks the door. Ha ha! I tricked you. Now you're in my house. Hey, are you going to stay here? She says, I'm not going to stay in here. Forget it. I'm going home. I want to go home to my tati and my mommy. In fact, they're going to be upset if I'm out too late. In fact, they didn't even know that I went. They said I shouldn't go for a walk. Oh, yeah, they shouldn't go for a walk, huh? Well, you went for a walk and now you're in my house and it's too late. I locked the door. I have the key. And that's it. Finished. And he locked Dina up in his house. And now Dina saw, oy vey, now I see why my father and my mother, my brothers warned me not to go walking around in a place like this, a strange place, a goyish place. Look what happens. You never know what's going to happen. Look what happened to me. And she starts to cry. I want to go home. And Shem says, no, you're not going home. Come on, I'll introduce you to my father, Chamor. You want to see him? I don't want to see no donkeys. Let me out of here. I don't want to meet a donkey tati from you. But now, Kindalach, back at home, they noticed, where's Dina? Where is she? Where is Dina? Uh-oh. Where is she? Like, look all around. And the brothers say, you know, maybe she went for the walk. After all, she was bored. She was restless. She didn't have what to do over there. Maybe she went for a walk. Maybe she didn't listen. And Kinalach, they go searching all over for Dina. And they start asking people, did you see a girl? And she was dressed sneeze stick, and she's a Jewish girl. Did you see this girl? Yeah, I think we saw such a girl. She was walking and looking in the stores and the windows. Yeah, she was walking here. Well, where is she? Where is she now? We can't find her. Oh, the last time we saw her, she was talking to Shem. He's the prince. He's going to be the king. His father's the king. His name is Hamor. And I think maybe he took her to the palace. Uh-oh. He took Dina to the palace? Oy vey. Finally, Kinalach, they looked all around the palace over there from the outside, and they asked the guards if a girl came in. They asked the guards if a girl came in. They said, yes, the girl is inside. She's locked up and she's not coming out. What do you mean she's locked up and she's not coming out? That's our sister. That's Dina. And Kinalach, later on, Chamorah came with Shem. And they came to Yaakov, and they came to the brothers, and they said, look, I'm Hamor, I'm the king, this is my son. He wants to marry Dinah, your daughter. Now let's talk over the chasana and the shidduch. Let's talk over the shidduch. Let's make up how we're going to do it. No. She's not going to marry Shechem. Our daughter's not going to marry Shechem. Our sister's not going to marry Shechem. She's a Yid. He's a Goy. It doesn't go like that. No, my son wants to marry your daughter. Finished. He wants to marry her, and she's staying in our palace. Now remember, I'm the king. I do whatever I want. This is my son. He gets whatever he wants. You're dealing with people that are not going to take no for an answer. Now, just the question is, how are we going to do this over here? Let's make a wedding. Let's make a chasana. Let's make a shidduch. Come on. And now they see the Rishoyim they're dealing with over here. They see that they're not going to get anywhere by talking seichel with this chamor, this donkey man, this donkey king. They're not going to get too far with him by talking over seichel and explaining about a shidduch doesn't go between a yid and a goy. And so Shimon and Levi, they got a smart trick idea. Again, we're talking a lot in Torah about tricks lately. They said, look, you want to make a chasana? You insist on a chasana? You're not going to let our daughter out, huh? Well, one thing, we have to explain that we're Jews, and we have a thing called the Bris Milah. And they explained what a Bris Milah is. They said, no Jewish girl would ever marry a Jewish boy. No, I'm sorry. No girl would ever marry a boy without a Bris Milah. This to us is the worst kind of a thing, that there should be somebody without a Bris Milah. So look, you say you want to make a chasana. Every man in Shechem, if you want us to live here, if you want to marry our sister, you have to stay. I mean, you want us to stay here with you, you want us to live here with you, make a chasana, make a family. Every man in Shechem has to make a Bris Milah first. If every man in Shechem makes a Bris Milah, then we can talk about it something. But we're not going to even consider anything unless every single man makes a Bris Milah. And you have to do it right away. Well, Kimnalach, the next day, Shechem and Hamor called all the men in the whole city. And they said, there's going to be a big chasana. Who wants to come? Yeah, we want to come to the chasana. Oh, it's going to be fun. Hi, Gewalt. All right. So first, everyone has to make a Bris Milah. Oh, what's that, a Bris Milah? We never heard of it. And the king explained what every man has to do. Well, they didn't want to do it, but the king said, you got to do it. Because I'm the king and I'm telling you what to do. And I'm saying you're going to get a Bris Milah. And then we're going to make a big chasana. And that day, every single man made a Bris Milah. Now, as we know, the first day it hurts, Taka. And the second day, it also hurts. Especially on a big man. The third day, it hurts the most. The third day, for some reason, it hurts the most. That's why when Avram Avinu made the Bris Milah, Hashem came in Vayera and visited him on the third day because it was hurting the most. And the Moel, when he makes a Bris Milah on a little baby, the third day goes to visit the baby to make sure the baby's doing okay, even nowadays. In the morning, Kenelach, the men woke up on the third day in the morning and they're going, oy vey, it hurts. Oy vey, it hurts. Oy, we don't feel good today. We better stay in bed. We're shvach. All the men stayed in bed that day. They were so shvach. And at the same time, Kinalach, they came into the street, Shimon and Levi, with big sharp swords. And they screamed out, you people of Shechem, everybody here, listen to us. You did a big, terrible aveda. And you went against the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. Even you're not Yidden, you have to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. Everyone, you took away our sister and she's locked up in the palace with Shechem to marry Shechem against what we want without asking permission. This is against the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. Okay, in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach, it talks about how a man should marry a woman in the right way in Hashem's eyes, and to take her away and lock her up in the palace without asking, and to go ahead and do that is not according to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. And they heard somebody yell out from the window, but we didn't do it. Shem did it, not us. Aha! But everybody knew what Shem did, and nobody said something against him, and nobody spoke up to say he shouldn't do that. Yeah, but he's the prince, and his father's the king. How could we say something against the king? And Shimon and Levi said, Chamor is not the king. Hashem is the king, not Chamor, donkey king. Hashem is the king. You have to listen to Hashem. You should have spoken up against Chamor and against Shechem, what they're doing. So everyone has the same Aveda, just like they took away our sister and locked her up in the palace and went against the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. And you all have to be punished. And you know what's the punishment? The punishment is you all have to die. And they went now, Kinalach, Shimon and Levi, with their swords, and they killed every single man in the whole city. And they went into the palace, and they killed Shechem, and they killed Chamor with their swords. Two brothers, Shimon and Levi, in order to get back their sister out from the Goyisha palace, they killed every single man in the whole city, and they took away Dina out of the palace. And nobody could stop them because they were hurting for the Bris Milah. They made a trick against them. Now, Kinalach, later on, a lot of people found out that the people of Shechem, all the men, got killed from two Jews. And a lot of people had friends in Shechem. Hey, my friend got killed by some Yid. Ho ho! No fair. They killed all the people in the city. No fair. And all around, the cities from all around Kinalach, they got together armies and they decided that they're going to attack Yaakov and his family, and Chas v'Shalom, they're going to kill Yaakov and his family to get him back for what they did to all the Goyim in Shechem. And they made big armies from many cities, and Yaakov, when he found out what happened, he said, we better get out of here fast. I feel something is going to happen against us from what for you did. He got upset at Shimon and Levi for what they did. He says, we better go out of here. And they started to go away, and all of a sudden, gigantic armies started coming at them. Thousands of goyim with swords against a family with 11 boys. And Yaakov said, the only hope that we have is not by fighting them, but only after. To daven to Hashem. They daven, they said, Shema Yisrael. And Kinalach, Hashem made a big ness that for some reason the armies, when they looked at Yaakov and his sons, they got afraid. They don't know why they got so afraid. But they got so afraid, they decided they're not going to fight. They ran all the way home. They went into their houses. They locked the doors. They hid in the closets under the bed. They were crying. Their wives came. What are you crying for? I'm afraid. I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? I don't know. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. They were so afraid. The Taket says that when a Yid puts on tefillin and a Goy sees the tefillin, they will become afraid of you. They will become afraid of you. Hashem makes them to be afraid of you when they see the tefillin. Yaakov and his sons, even though this is before the Torah, and maybe they didn't exactly have the same kind of tefillin we have now, but they certainly had the same mitzvahs and the same things that they do. We know by Yaakov, he did certain things that was exactly like tefillin. And they had Hashem's koyach with them, and the goyim were afraid of them. Now what happened was, when those thousands of soldiers came to make a war against Yaakov and his family, all of a sudden, for some unexplained reason, like out of nowhere, instead of just going and chas v'shalom to doing whatever they wanted to do to Yaakov and his sons, and they could have done it so easily because they were thousands against only a few, all of a sudden, from like nowhere, they just got afraid. They looked at one of Yaakov's sons, and it was like looking at a whole army coming against them. They got so afraid. They turned back, and they ran home, and they were hiding, and they were afraid and crying. And you think to yourself, why in the world? I mean, how did that happen? Was just that a miracle from Hashem? Now, there was a little bit more to that. There's an answer to that. And that is, in Parshas Lech Lecha, okay, when Avram Avinu came to Eretz Canaan the first time, in Parshas Lech Lecha, when the Eibishter said to Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha, and Avram Avinu came to Eretz Canaan, it says the first place he went was Shechem. Now, Eretz Canaan is a big land with a lot of places. Why does he go to Shechem first? And it says over there in the Rashi, as soon as Avram Avinu comes into Eretz Canaan, and of course he chose to go there because he wanted to, it was a good land and he wanted to go there, he felt something was wrong. He felt scared. He looks around, Avram, he says, what am I to be afraid of? There's nothing here to be afraid of. Why do I feel afraid? Avram says, why am I so afraid? There's nothing scary here. If there's a bear, I'd be afraid. A lion, if there are chas v'shalom robbers, he looks around, there's nothing there. Now, there's two ways to be afraid. One way is that a person sees something that could chas v'shalom make him afraid. And there's another way that your neshama sees something. You don't see it. Your eyes cannot see it. The neshama feels there's some kind of a danger over here. There's something wrong. And your neshama sometimes could feel it. Now, by a tzaddik, like Avraham Avinu, not only he felt something was wrong that day, he felt something is going to be wrong in this place many years from now. He felt something is going to happen in this place that's very wrong and very scary, and it's going to happen in many years. And all of a sudden, with Ruach HaKodesh, he saw, he will have Einik Lach, Yaakov, and Yaakov will have a family, and they will be in great danger in that place. Now this place was right near Shechem. And Avram davened, and he said, Hashem, in the future, when my family, when my Einik Lach, when my grandchildren will be here in great danger, please help them. Please have Rachmanis on them and help them. And he davened for them years before they were born. Many years before they were born. He davened in that place. Now, later on, when there was the Yaakov and the family that was really there in that place that Avram had been many, many years before, and they were in great danger because the goyim were after them, all of a sudden, the goyim turned back, totally unexpected, like a miracle, and they went home and they started crying, they were afraid. What did that come from? What did that come from? Of course, it was a big miracle that had happened, and it was with the help of Hashem, but what did that, what also helped over there that the goyim should be afraid and not harm the Yaakov and his family?
Avram.
What did Avram do?
He davened to Hashem.
Avram's tefillah. The koyach of tefillah, the koyach of davening. So the koyach of davening could help you today, and it could help you even many years later. Like you see over here, Avram's koyach of davening helped them many years later. And that's why, that was a big part of why